session on the 15th. And there's no indication right now that they're going to do that.
Well, you know, I saw an incident on the Mall this summer that still puzzles me, and I can only think that the officers knew who the man was, but I went into Starbucks for a coffee drink, and this man was ahead of me, and he bought a coffee drink, and he went out and sat on the little wall in front of Starbucks to drink his cup of coffee in the sun. When I came out, we were going to sit at a table in the little yard there. When I came out, I saw two officers talk to each other and from across the street come up and tell him that he was going to be cited for loitering if he didn't move. And he said, well, I'm not a loiterer. I just bought a cup of coffee here, and I'm just sitting in the sun. And they said, you're not allowed to, like, sit on the wall, sit on the street. It was the most peculiar thing I've ever seen. Now, the guy had a pack, not a big pack like the kind that people have to carry when they have all their belongings, just a backpack. He did have a beard. He typically did not look like your fat cat tourist that everybody's so respectful of here. But I was just amazed, since the guy had obviously spent money. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He wasn't begging for money. He wasn't dressed like a person even who was begging for money. I mean, it seems like anyone's fair game. And I guess I'm kind of getting tired of this bully society, this sort of fascist society that Santa Cruz has become. I would really like to know what kind of direction the city council would like Mr. Belcher to take.
I would say out would be the best direction. However,
well, but what would their direction be to him? Do they not believe the stories, the actions that you file, the petitions? Why are they complacent about the way things are done? I know here in the Beach Flats, you know, we still do not, you know, get enough police protection down here. They're on the wharf. They're at the boardwalk. Last night, the electricity was out here for hours and hours and hours. When I drove home through the Beach Flats, there was not one policeman visible. There were no street lights. There were nothing. There was no one, you know, making the rounds while the electricity was out. Interestingly enough, the boardwalk had electricity, but the neighborhood did not. And I just always wonder, like, why are they focusing so much energy on where people are sleeping, what vehicles are being slept in? So I think the new city council really needs to think about what direction they really even see the police department taking. And I don't care if the city manager has a big say in this or whatever. Everyone can be replaced. We've started doing it now. And as far as I'm concerned, everyone can be replaced.
You know, that is of course the excuse that buyers and others have used in the past, that it's the city manager that has to give the instructions to the police department. The city council can only advise the city manager, who controls the city council, and the city manager can only be fired by a 5-2
vote. But are they doing it? See, to me,
that's exactly
the problem. This is the problem that we had with Catherine and Celia when all of the, approving the EIR and stuff. It's like, well, as long as everybody's going to approve it, you know, what can I do? You can do a lot.
And
you know, Catherine and Celia did a great job at the end. They really did. But all the way through the process, I really wish that they would have stood up for what they believed instead of kowtowing, like, what's the point of voting against it? There's always a point to voting against something that's wrong.
That's correct.
And I'm hoping that we have really moral people who maybe don't understand the ramifications of how they're starting out, but I'm hoping that they begin to understand right away that there are priorities in this town. When I watched Voices from the Village,
which is a community TV show
which
Catherine Byers, Fitzmaurice, and Crone appeared on Thursday night.
Right. And Tim Fitzmaurice, you know, was talking about all the issues in front of them. And one of the issues that he mentioned was were the people that live on the west side that can smell the sewer treatment plant or the water treatment plant and how distasteful it is, and people have come to him. I understand that these new councilmen are being beleaguered by everyone. And the truth is, you can only work on a few things at a time. I know that, too. They have a lot on their table. But this is the real deal. The people that are on the west side smelling sewer are in nice warm houses, and they are out of the rain. We have to make some priorities. We really do. And we can't have people freezing to death. I don't know about you, I had a quarter inch of ice on my windshield yesterday morning. Could not even scrape it off with my fingernails. I have no idea what people were doing, you know, who had nowhere to be the night before that. So I'm just, what I'm asking the city council to do is to be responsible, as Keith Sugar said, for their fellow human beings, to know that it's irresponsible for them to sleep out in the rain one more night. I don't care if they put a tent up like they did after the earthquake. I don't care if they take a parking lot and you can pitch tents at night and you have to be gone by 9 in the morning, 8 in the morning, whatever. They need to start somewhere. I don't think that's the solution. Don't get me wrong. But I'm just saying that they have the power right now.
They have the votes.
And they have, you know, we supported them because we thought that they really would do right by all the citizens in our town, not just for a few.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just as in the Beach Flats fight, I was not one of the people that would lose my house, at least not in this go-round, you know, it had the beach plan gone through.
Mm-hmm.
But that put me in a great position to not be fearful and to speak up, where other people were really fearful. And I feel that for the homeless, that anyone that is really distressed about the homeless, even though they're not homeless, they need help. They need voices, you know. They need people to come to the meetings and speak on their behalf. You don't have to be homeless to know that it's terrible.
Definitely. You know, it's I have to keep saying, a man. I'm hoping, I guess you're going to be at the council meeting at 7 o'clock with your teddy bear.
I will definitely be at the council meeting, Robert. And I guess...
Bring a blanket.
There's one other thing I wanted to say, but sure. My brain is filled with snot this morning with this cold.
Yeah, a lot of us are.
Perhaps it just flew.
Well, look, why don't you call back? You got the number here. Just call again. You can hear us on the radio. And keep close to the radio. We may get some critical responses, and you may want to get into a discussion of that.
You know what, Robert? I'm right. I don't really need to get in a discussion. I mean, you know, people can argue all they want. I challenged the city council the other night to sleep outdoors every night until they came to a decision on what would be the best way to handle the homeless situation. The reason I challenged them to that was not to be a smart aleck, but I know for a fact that as soon as they had to do that, that the decision would be made rather quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need. And we need a little bit of hands-on, you know,
right.
Reality therapy. So people can call and argue or say you're a radical or whatever. You know, anybody that has a big argument with this, I want them to sleep outside. And I challenged them to sleep outside till this was decided. Unfortunately, the moderators turned to them and said, would you be willing to spend a night outdoors?
Which was not what you asked.
That is not what I asked. And anybody that calls and has any problem with what I've said, sleep outdoors for a month. No going to Starbucks for coffee. No cash on you. Go eat at the soup kitchen. And then call in and let me know if you still disagree.
Thank you, Roxanne.
Okay.
All right.
Bye, Robert.
Are you coming to do some tabling today?
Well, you had told me last night I was off the hook because I was sick.
You are off the hook.
But if I'm not, yeah, you know, it just can't keep changing things on me, Robert.
Hey, man. We'll call you back.
Okay.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, hey. That was a call from Roxanne, a Beach Flats resident, formerly homeless person, who did a lot of organizing around the Beach Flats and helped to bring many Hispanic, Spanish-speaking residents of the Beach Flats to City Council, which I think turned the tide, along with other things, around the Beach Flats issue. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. I'm your host, Bathrob Spear, Robert Norse. This is Bathrob Spear's Broadsides. The issue of the day is the City Council Agenda Item Number 31. On the December 8th upcoming City Council Agenda, the last City Council session in 1998, unless they do the right thing and hold a special session on the 15th or the 23rd. which is about as likely as a snowstorm. We can always pray for snow. I guess pray for a nice hot weather for those of us who are outside. Our phone line again is 427-3772 if you'd like to call in. We're going to give you a brief musical break, but there's no break for those of us who are sleeping outside. That's the ticketing. Sleep busters are on the roam, whether they're Parks and Rec officials, California Highway Patrol officers, or Santa Cruz Police Department cops, and they all have the same tool in their hand, the tool that the Crone Fitzmaurice Buyers Sugar Council has the power to take away from them, but apparently isn't going to do, at least not now. Gets Ready for Christmas on her album Failure to Disperse. Beautiful song, and one we hope to be doing some Christmas caroling with using our own lyrics. And in fact, we're going to have a special lyric writing contest. You get a set of 10 of the best back issues of the Street Shit Sheet if you can give us a conventional Christmas song with lyrics suitable for Santa Cruz. Again, the 10 best issues of the Street Shit Sheet, which is the homeless newsletter that I've largely written and edited this last decade. And all you got to do is send that in to 309 Cedar, number 14B, Santa Cruz, 95060. Again, 309 Cedar, number 14B, Santa Cruz, 95060. Just call 423-HUFF. If you lose the address and you got those lyrics, you can actually read them in or sing them in over the phone line if you don't want to send them in. I mean, why waste a stamp? Hey, you got a Christmas carol with lyrics that talk about Santa Cruz, the local politicians, the police, and the homeless. We want to hear it, and we want to sing it. We're going to sing it throughout the Christmas season to the shoppers that show up downtown, to the city council members that show their faces after this next city council meeting sellout, to the police officers that are harassing poor people downtown. We'll have our own lyrics, our own songs to sing. I got a call during the song that asked me again to give my opinion of this item 31 on the city council agenda coming up. And again, for those of you who have just tuned in, item 31 is the first time the camping ban, unfortunately not the sleeping ban sections per se, which is what many of us have been pressing for in the last year, but the camping ban comes up on the agenda, not as a law change, unfortunately, apparently that nobody even has bothered to call the city attorney yet. Not even our fine new council members have bothered to call the city attorney yet, according to the city attorney's comments on Friday when I talked to him. But rather, this is an item which talks about issues regarding homelessness. It's on the 7 o'clock agenda, which I'm asking everybody in town to come to with their blankets and some nightgowns and bathrobes and signs. Have some nice big signs available. And get ready to bring a sleeping bag if you got one. Bring a couple of friends. Pack those chambers 7 o'clock on Tuesday night. Really important. And call three or four friends to come with you. This agenda item is again, I'm going to briefly read it again for those of you who haven't yet tuned in. One, at the first city council meeting of each month, receive a report on the demand for shelter services and the number of beds available countywide for those without shelter. Two, survey churches in the area to see if they would allow limited numbers of people who live in their vehicles to park in church parking lots. Three, request staff to report back as to the prospects of improving armory shelter by providing more transportation options or other measures. Four, direct Mayor Byers and Councilmember Sugar and Crone to review the camping ordinance and report back in February with any recommended changes. The review process shall include meetings with residents, business owners, homeless service providers, and other interested parties. Whoops, they forgot homeless. Oh well. Five, direct that whenever reasonable and practicable, warnings rather than citations shall be issued by city enforcement personnel. Also, the enforcement of camping violations shall emphasize responses to citizens' complaints. Six, direct staff to report monthly on enforcement activities related to the camping ordinance, including the number of calls for service, contacts, citations, and bookings. Okay, I'm going to run quickly through my criticism of this utterly inadequate response. First of all, obviously, what they need to do is to annul and rescind the blanket and sleeping bans. Period. I mean, what they really need to do is to thoroughly reform the camping ban so that there are places for people to set up tents in this horrible weather where they need to do so. Low-income campgrounds, car parks, youth hostels, industrial zones, you name it. There are different ways to go about it, but that the thorough action needs to have been initiated, and Catherine Byers has been on the council for a decade. She knows this is the crisis season. She knew weeks ago, months ago, this was coming up. She is no novice, and she and Celia Scott had the option to put something on the agenda. They refused to do so. Their fault. Their problem. And it's a serious, serious situation. Given that they didn't do that, they also have been aware for the last year of the blanket and sleeping bans. This is simply a human rights issue. We're not even talking about sheltering people. We're talking about not further abusing them if they have to go to sleep at night or cover up with blankets. This isn't even a social service measure that talks about providing more shelter, which is something that should be done anyway. This says don't take away their human rights at the same time as you're freezing them to death. But Byers couldn't even agree to this. Neither could Fitzmaurice, Crone, and Sugar, because they also have the option of putting a law on the agenda, as we asked them to do. On the 24th, they couldn't do it, but Byers could. On the 1st, the special session, they could have called it, but they refused. They could have asked that it be called. On the 8th, they could have put it on the agenda coming up. They have not done so. And they could have given us a commitment that there would be a special session on the 15th. Silence. Silence. Silence from these progressive council members about a fundamental human right, the right to sleep at night, the right not to be harassed for sleeping. We're not talking about blocking doorways, crapping on the sidewalk, screaming at the top of your lungs, getting drunk in public. None of that stuff. We are talking about sleeping. Nothing is on the agenda to decriminalize sleeping. Nothing. Now, what we have instead here are a number of items about directing, this is the nearest thing to any kind of action, that whenever reasonable and practicable, warnings rather than citations shall be issued by city enforcement personnel. Okay, let's look at that for a minute. Warnings about what? Wake up. I want to warn you. You can't sleep here. If you don't move, I'm going to ticket you. So move on. Now, that's not merely not a humane response. That's another violation of human rights and privacy. Warnings about what? If a person is engaging in a crime, you arrest them or ticket them. Sleeping is not a crime, except in the bizarre 1998 America venue of Santa Cruz, where sleeping has been declared a crime and has been since the 1978 sleeping ban provisions of the camping ban went into effect, 1 year before Mike Rotkin got on the council and then made it a misdemeanor with his vote in 1979. So to say that you shall only give them warnings rather than citations is really no solution. You might say, well, it's less. At least they don't have tickets. They just have warnings. You know, you wake them up, you move them along, you know, but I mean, hey, at least they only have warnings. No, not good enough. Sleeping cannot be a crime. If they have suspicion of other crimes, then they investigate that just as they would investigate any of us, homeless or housed. Sleeping is not a crime. Also, the next provision, the enforcement of camping violations shall emphasize responses to citizens' complaints. Well, first of all, this is what the police department and Mike Rotkin say the police are doing anyway. So they're going to say, we're not changing our policy, we're just doing this anyway. And there's no monitoring of this. There's no weekly meeting, as I suggested, of a police officer, a city council member, and any homeless people who feel they're being fucked with at a public hearing every week. No, no process for any of that is included in this set of recommendations. And also, it doesn't say that ticketing shall only be upon complaint. It just says that it shall emphasize responses to citizens' complaints. How's that for bureaucratic gobbledygook? I'm sorry, that doesn't talk about ticketing on complaint. So even if you think that ticketing on complaint is, to say, a step ahead of ticketing whenever the hell the cop wants to, this doesn't mandate ticketing on complaint. So it doesn't do any good there. Then it says direct staff to report monthly on enforcement activities. Well, I've already said monthly. They already have the reports that come out every month or two about the number of camping tickets they issue. There's no change here. Maybe they get a little more specific. No, what you need is an enforcement mechanism. Whenever an officer either warns, contacts, hassles, tickets, or arrests an individual under the camping ordinance or the sleeping ban provisions of the camping ordinance, I think it should be anything out of the camping ordinance since the entire ordinance is really in question here, but we're talking just about the sleeping and blanket bans for the moment. Whenever that happens, the police officer has to fill out a specific form that states, A, the health and safety concern that they are supposedly concerned with, and B, who the complaint came from or what the complaint was about, who and what the bona fide interest of the person complaining had. Was there, you know, too loud noise? Well, then it wasn't even a sleeping ban thing. It was something else. What's the complaint? What's the harm? Coming back again to the basic issue of a person sleeping. And the answer is, of course, no harm. No harm. That, of course, is the problem. Unless, of course, there's a class of people you don't want in town. And unfortunately, we are in the midst of this ongoing class war, which unfortunately we have to fight. Because if we don't, we will be crushed. And that's the sad truth of it here. And there is no Candyland, there is no Disneyland, there is no Oz here now that this city council is in. It's the same scene as before. And these people are still doing nothing. Now, it has been pointed out to me that these six items that I read to you, item 31, these six sub-items of item 31 coming on the council agenda 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening, were put there by staff. But actually, they were put there by staff via Catherine Byers. And Byers, of course, really is the weak link in all this, even though she's the mayor. She's the person who has been playing footsie with Rotkin and the rest of the gang for years. She is the one who, you know, who wrings her hands and makes statements of sympathy, but again, has failed to stand up on civil rights issues. She's not that kind of a person in terms of how she operates. I have an incoming call.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Hi, Robert. I have a question.
Sure.
What kind of source do you have about staff versus Catherine putting those things on? Because it sounds to me like they were put there by the downtown merchants.
Well, this according to, I actually got two different items. I got the full agenda on Friday afternoon, which I'm reading you from, and then I got a one-page so-called staff report, which said it was in response to Catherine Byers, and it's identical with what I just read you,
mm-hmm.
with the item that's on the agenda. So it's not entirely clear. It obviously doesn't come from the business interest, because the business doesn't want this on the agenda at all. But, and it came from Catherine. She put it on the agenda. She originally told me on Wednesday that she had no interest.
What's there that the business community wouldn't want?
Well, no, what I'm saying is the business community doesn't...
They don't want the ordinance to be shaken down, but if they know it's going to be discussed anyway, wouldn't it be natural for them to make sure that anything that happens is totally impotent?
No, I understand, but you see, I think that there was nothing on the agenda until Byers went to the staff and said, here's what I want you to put on the agenda, and this is what she did.
And this is something that, in my hearing, what you're saying is friendly to the established order, to the status quo, and doesn't bring an iota of relief to the people that are outside of some support system in this city.
Correct.
And because the city is so much more obscene and more dangerous, and I think more hostile to homeless people, both former residents, sheltered, and passing through, I think it's very, very dangerous, and although, as you read it, it sounds benign.
Huh. Interesting point of view.
I mean, to go further in this direction of walking on people while we're pretending we're going to liberalize whether we have cleats or not, is this, you know, to me, it's worse than they're doing nothing. So there's got to be something here I'm missing.
Well, I wish there were. I mean, it is true that I have not been able to contact... Actually, I've been rather demoralized, and I've been more organizing opposition rather than talking to council members, but I did put in a call to Crone, and I got Rachel O'Malley, and I'm hoping to meet with him tonight to get further information on this. But, you know, I told all these council members received from me... I heard that they were... I heard from Byers on Wednesday or Thursday first that she wasn't going to put anything on the agenda, and then that she was going to do something about reducing fines or some, you know, bizarre
little... Reducing fines that she's already screwed up about what they are in the first place.
Right, she actually made the comment, the astonishing comment in her last public appearance on Voices from the Village, the TV show, that she hadn't really familiarized herself with the sleeping ban initiative because it didn't get enough signatures to put it on the ballot back in May, the sleeping ban repeal initiative, and which of course raised some eyebrows from David Silva, the outreach coordinator for the committee to repeal the sleeping ban.
I guess that would hurt anyone who worked hard on it, but an excuse.
The reason he raised his eyebrows was because he specifically spent an hour orienting Catherine and Celia point by point, line by line on the entire initiative. So it obviously isn't a very hot issue with her at all. In fact, one gets the feeling she's trying to avoid knowing or hearing anything about it. Now, it could be that the business community and the police department, who apparently had briefing sessions with Byers and Crone and others, is what I hear tell, earlier that day, kind of fuddled them up and, you know,
Fuddled them up? It seems like they sat upon the whole concept. I mean... Except for this thing where it changes from ticketing on complaint to emphasizing complaints, you know, what does that mean? Soliciting complaints? Other than that one, they all sound like it's the same old story. I already surveyed all the churches. There's nothing to be accomplished by surveying the churches, for example.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just too absurd. And I'm a little angrier than I ought to be because I still have a warrant left over from a parking ticket that I can't get fixed because my lawyer said something for me that I hadn't authorized.
Mm-hmm.
So I can never sleep outside after late at night.
Because you'll be arrested.
Because it makes me a criminal. And I don't intend to live my life as a criminal. And I don't want to end up having to fly off the handle every week like some of my friends have had to do on the way to dying. I don't intend to do that.
Well, you're also a disabled person, and you have, because I know you, we're friends, and you've been pursuing this issue for two decades, you're familiar with, I guess you were around when the current incarnation of the sleeping ban was passed in 1978 after, well, we heard about Roxanne being harassed in her vehicle in the early 70s. We know that the huge upsurge in tickets that happened 74, 75, 76 as the police force mobilized to drive all the van people out of the area, and they finally made their stand at Scott's Creek in 77 in the county. So you've been around for a long time, and
I've survived enough of this shit. And when you look at this from stepping back a little and looking across the country, and I mean, there's a general movement to make more criminals out of people who can't do anything about it because it's really an economic issue, essentially. When you look at that, we live in a city who is getting more and more regressive and dangerous in criminalizing and taking away ordinary human and civil rights from people, while the world around us is trying to grapple with the same problem and in some cases becoming a little bit more humane. If you have any friends that have to travel on the road in order to work, that you would see this pattern. You know, there was a time when the IHSS was started that we had a town that had a genuine concern to the point where leaders and policymakers were looking for ways to be creative.
What's the IHSS?
The ISSP.
The Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program, the Emergency Shelter Program.
Yeah, when it first got launched, not only were mostly the churches that supported it were in the city of Santa Cruz, but the Resource Center for Nonviolence was one of the entities that donated floor space. And the first few years, you know, that was done out of compassion. There weren't any regulations supporting it or opposing it one way or the other. And it was successful, and it was successful with no budget, zero. And that's why it still exists today. Now, I don't get it that the policymakers are making it harder while they know the numbers of people becoming homeless is increasing. And they know damn well in this city that the cost of housing is one of the aggravating factors. More people are going to be kicked out into the streets, some of them having to leave town, here than somewhere else in the state, almost anywhere else in the state.
Mm-hmm. Well,
I didn't mean to get so upset, I should say.
No, I'm glad. I would prefer to, I think you're very eloquent and articulate, and it's quite appropriate that you're upset, and I think that a lot of us should express the indignation and the betrayal that we feel by calling the City Council hotline at 429-3550, then press the pound key, and you can state that you think this recommendation is utterly inadequate, in fact, counterproductive.
Who does it help? What good does it do? I don't see it.
I am not prepared to play devil's advocate for this recommendation, I'll tell you. I mean, I could make an argument, but I frankly would rather make an argument that it's sufficiently bad that everybody in town should not only be at the City Council meeting at 7 o'clock, not only call in today to the City Council at 429-3550 pound, but should prepare to start doing demonstrations downtown in front of the businesses, the precious businesses, that apparently are the real voices that even the new City Council apparently is listening to with fearful trepidation.
Well, they're listening to whoever can get through to them right now, and I think probably merchants have high stakes to do so.
You know, I know that I've heard from the city staff, though they have not yet even been instructed as of 2 days ago, to log in the number of calls in favor of ending the sleeping ban. Get that. Not even instructed to log that in by these new council members, by Mayor Byers, so that we won't
they
even...
They have to be told to keep track of their phone calls?
Yes, that's apparently the case. Mm-hmm. Unless it's an agenda item, they will not log it, they said. Mm-hmm. They have not even been told by Byers to log it in as of 2 days ago, and I hope that that's changed. But if you do call today, 429-3550, pound key, I encourage you to say, end the sleeping ban. Item 31 is completely inadequate, and I damn well want to know how many people are calling in about this, and I want my call logged. Thank you very much.
And a response. People can ask for a response to their call, too.
And please, give me a response if you're not at a payphone. You know, I mean, there are people who can't, haven't got phones who are out there calling in. But those of us who do have phones, call in. If you called in once, call in again. You have a second good reason to call in now. They have given you their answer. Their answer is, in February, we'll talk about it. In the meantime, the police can do what they've always been doing. And by the way, we're continuing with the monthly reports. It seems to be what they're saying. So if that's a satisfactory response, then don't call in. But if it's not, if you feel this is a sellout, if you feel this is completely inadequate...
If that's a satisfactory response, that means you don't know what the hell's going on.
Right.
Even one day outside. I really support what Roxanne was saying on your program. I think that people who aren't used to having to think about it and maybe don't want to deal with the squirmish thought of being honest with yourself need to show up. In the same way that it took white people to make a shift in the civil rights movement to make things start happening, it's going to take people with a roof over their head sticking up for people who might go to jail if they say something in public. Certainly will get hassled.
Mm-hmm.
So we need people there who haven't thought about it, or maybe once a year their preacher mentioned it, but in reality haven't thought about it in their own lives. You know?
Yeah.
Think about it, you know. What if your kid drops out of college? Where are they going to go? They're going to be under the bridge, and it's not safe.
So give a call to 429-3550 pound key, City Council. And if you want to help us do some organizing around this, you can give a call to HUFF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom. And that's at 423-HUFF, H-U-F-F, 423-4833. Linda, is there more you want to say on the subject?
Yeah, but it's just a sentence.
Go ahead.
Yeah, in general, I support a system, so-called emergency shelter system, that has all sorts of opportunities in it. In other words, it's friendly to people who want to camp alone, friendly to people in vehicles, friendly to people who just need a break, friendly to people who might want to sleep at night, and with safe ventilation at the very least, you know. And I don't think any city in this country is going to be able to provide the amount of viable emergency shelter. So I don't think there's ever going to be an excuse for undermining people's human rights and civil rights and calling that some sort of a policy.
Yeah, so the right to sleep cannot wait until everybody has a shelter. Obviously, it's
not an excuse not to deal with your community issues.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse.
And one way to deal with those community issues I call out there is to everyone come at 7 o'clock with your sleeping bag and your blanket and your nightwear. Don't just come to City Council in your civilian clothes. Come ready for action. Even if you may choose not to join the sleep-in in City Council, at least the City Council will see you're there in solidarity.
I've had enough of having to hide when I'm homeless, having to hide my children at night.
I hear you. Well, thank you for calling, caller. And call back if you got more you want to tell us.
And I hope I see a lot of people Tuesday.
Hey, me too.
Bye.
Thanks.
Tuesday, 7 o'clock. Come to City Council. Bring your blankets, bring your sleeping bags, bring your signs. And also come actually a little earlier. Come at 6:30. We're going to have a hot meal there. Compliments of Joe Schultz. 6:30, not just 7. I don't want to cut you out of that hot soup.
Hi, Aaron Free Radio.
Yeah, hi, Robert.
Hi.
It's Roxanne.
Oh, get away from that. Are you there?
I'm turning my radio off.
Oh, good. Okay.
I keep forgetting I'm doing the dishes and listening to you.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, I really, Linda made so many good points, you know?
Uh-huh.
And I think that one of the things that I wanted to say when I called in before was that I don't think that the agencies that are dealing with the homeless are under attack here. And my sense is that one of the things that the City Council is worried about is that they're not getting enough credit.
If Becky replaces it, yes. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are you there?
I'm here.
One of the things that I think the City Council, the new City Council, is concerned about is that the agencies that are dealing with the homeless are not getting enough credit. And so one of the things that I think is really important is that we all understand just that there's the huge unmet need. We're not criticizing what's being done, per se. We know there's not enough resources. So for the City Council to spend its time asking that the agencies make their stories more real about the people they help and that they get that information to the public doesn't help the people that have nowhere to flee.
Uh-huh.
And I also called you back because I'm very concerned about David Silva.
Uh-huh.
I understand that David's fasting till something's done about this. And I have been really concerned about him because it looks like it's not happening. Do you know what I'm saying?
I do.
And I want to know, do you know how he's doing?
Well, I think David actually is going to call in probably when he gets back from church, which should be within about 15 minutes.
Oh, good.
Because give you an update on
it's
that.
It's been a serious concern to me because I know he's basically putting his life on the line. in order to get something done about this.
I know that when another woman fasted back in the 80s, when Jane Immler went on a fast in 1985, successful eventually, but she actually had to fast for 30 days before any media broke it. And the media that broke it was not Santa Cruz media, it was Sacramento media. And it was only because Sacramento began covering it that the Santa Cruz Sentinel began covering it. So,
you know, we made national news the other night, and we made national news in a very interesting way. The subject was Santa Cruz, living in Santa Cruz, that it is now the worst place to live because of the high rents and the low wages. And what they said on the national news is that it takes four times the average wage of anywhere else to live in Santa Cruz. Now, I know people might think, well, then why don't those poor people just get the hell out? You know, this is many people's homes and people who were born here, and many people can't leave. They have workers' comp cases, all of our disabled homeless. They usually have cases either for physician malpractice. They didn't become disabled by themselves. They had a lot of help, you know, and or work-related injuries. So, you know, we saw a woman testify at city council that she couldn't leave because her court case was here to try and get the settlement for her injury so she can lead a decent life. And I'm kind of tired of this. Well, why don't you guys just get the hell out? You beach flats people, you homeless people, you poor people. So that was the other thing I wanted to tell you, is that we did make national news as a very distasteful place to be, you know, economically unfeasible. So the word is out, you know. I mean, we've been wanting a livable, you know, a living wage set here and a lot of things. Western Service Workers Association has been working for ages to try and make people see that what will happen to Santa Cruz if we don't get, you know, if we don't start sticking up for the people, the working people and everyone. So, anyway, that's all. I was on earlier, so I don't want to take a lot of time. But
hey, give us another flash when it comes. Thank you.
And I'll look forward to hearing from David.
All right.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes, we should be having a report from a dead-on David Silva, hopefully not dead David Silva, because indeed he has been preparing for a fast, and not, he said, to publicize it or to pressure or to blackmail, but simply as an act of conscience in the tradition of Gandhi. Although, ironically, he told us that Gandhi's, I think it was Gandhi's son or grandson, who came to town and supported ending the sleeping ban, told us the only way he thought we would get an end to the sleeping ban was with mass protest on the streets. And that's what I'm hoping folks are going to join me to do on, not only at the city council at 7 o'clock or 6:30 if you want some food on Tuesday night, but in the days that follow downtown. I have no illusions that the council is going to listen to me or to us at that session necessarily. They have to see a sustained action from people who are not going away and are not going to be intimidated. And the business community has to see that it's the least of all evils in this situation is to let people have their basic human rights, since they don't seem to understand the rather pedestrian argument that we're all human beings and have to sleep. That one doesn't seem to get through to either the city council or the police chief or the merchants, that we have to bring out something more important, money. That if they persist in this behavior of ignoring human rights, we will try to get shoppers not to patronize downtown Santa Cruz as long as this state of siege against the poor continues. That's my suggestion. Now, I actually wrote a flyer yesterday. By the way, you can always interrupt my tirades by calling in at 427-3772. You're tuned to Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. And I also want to point out that on the 12th, on Saturday, there's going to be another demonstration to protest police repression of free speech in Santa Cruz. And that has to do with the case of Steve Argue, who was brutally tackled and jailed in front of over 30 eyewitnesses by the Santa Cruz police for distributing an alternate newspaper called Street Spirit. Street Spirit raises issues against police misconduct for the rights of the homeless and against the expansion of the beach boardwalk, among other things. You can get copies of Street Spirit, usually in front of Bookshop Santa Cruz and other places along Pacific Avenue, from vendors like job finder John Moorer, who is one of the sellers of Street Spirit, or Steve Argue himself. The demonstration that Steve is doing is coming up on December 12th at 4 p.m. at the town clock on Saturday, immediately after the Mumia Abu Jamal demonstration at 3 o'clock at the town clock on Saturday. But in the meantime, come on down on Tuesday to City Hall at 6:30 with your blankets.
Hi, you're on Free Radio Santa Cruz.
Yes, hi. I wanted to also alert your listeners to Club Cruise show that's coming up on the 15th and will be rebroadcast on the 17th, in which Steve Argue is interviewed along with attorney Kate Wells, and we'll be showing some clips there also of yourself, Robert, in selling a street spirit in front of the hosts.
Oh, excellent.
So that'll be on Channel 71 on Tuesday the 15th at 7 o'clock.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
I always love to see myself on the tube, or from when I ever get to the tube. I'm not much of a TV watcher, I've got to admit. Well, a council that promised us compassion, this is the flyer that I wrote and will be distributing today downtown at 3 o'clock for those of you who want to join me in front of a New Leaf Market. A council that promised us compassion serves us a sham that shames the city. On December 8th at 7 p.m., the last council meeting of 1998, misprint already, the last meeting before the deep winter and holiday recess, on the 50th anniversary of the UN Declaration of Human Rights, the Santa Cruz City Council will offer this gift to its homeless. They won't lift the camping ban, so in freezing rain there will be no permitted areas to pitch a tent to stay dry and warm. They won't lift the sleeping ban, so just sleeping in your own vehicle or outside will remain a $162 ticket. They won't lift the blanket ban, so covering up with blankets against the cold will remain illegal. They won't order cops to stop taking vehicles as evidence of sleeping, so police will continue to steal people's phones, tow them, and hold them for ransom. They won't freeze sleeping tickets already issued, so the poor will be arrested on sleep crime warrants during the holidays. They will spend...